the month, according to St. Mark. We don't question him. And so that's a time we go back to our part of salvation for the body called healing and strengthening. We were talking a little bit last night about some of the David and Brad testimonies. My sister is from Calgary, and I was talking to her. Then she was telling me some of the stories, because those fellows, they work out of the States. David works in Mexico, and Brad has been over in Mozambique. And but they go into the church that my sister attends in Calgary. And they have other connections up in Edmonton. And David's the guy who works in Mexico. And I was telling her about the story that that I knew from David, which was the one about the we were talking about creative miracles, and David's the guy who was who's down in these little villages in Mexico that where all their different dialects are. And he was doing this weekly service. They go in on horses and they fool around, and they're preaching to everybody. And there was this elder of the community there, this lady, who was a witch or a whatever. She ran the show. She wasn't. And I think I got some of the story wrong last night, but it was really good anyway when I told it. And so she had. She had watched from a distance, and at the end she went up and said, I have a granddaughter who cannot eat anything. She's either 7 or 11. And maybe it was both, because, you know, it's kind of a, could be a good theme. They were thinking of opening up a convenience store down there or something. I don't know. Anyway, there was 7 or 11 years old granddaughter who had never eaten properly, was still on baby food, had terrible digestive structure in her body. And said, can you make my granddaughter well? And he just felt impressed to say, no, you will. So, you know, what you need is you need to acknowledge the Lord Jesus as a healer. And he sort of got her to confess the Lord. Said, now you are able to go and heal your granddaughter. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to go and lay hands on her. And you're going to say, you are well in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom is my Lord, etc. You know, now. So he packs up and goes away. And he came back to that village about 8 months later. And this woman comes up to him and he says, I wonder what's going to happen now. So she says, you know, like, you're the guy who was here 8 months ago. And she says, yeah. He says, well, I did what you said and I went home. Her granddaughter, I think her daughter was dead or gone or something. Anyway, her granddaughter was there, and she came out to meet her, and she says, so I took her, and I laid hands on her, and I said, you know, you're going to be well now in the name of Jesus. And then fed her pablum and went to bed. And the next morning, I think I'm getting it right now, the next morning, she was always sick when she ate. The next morning, she's laying in bed, and the granddaughter comes in and says, Grandma, will you get me some breakfast? I'm hungry. I want to eat. And she said, well, that's great, isn't it? She says, yeah, she ate perfectly and has been eating perfectly ever since. So that's wonderful. She says, no, but you don't understand. She came in to get me out of bed. She was born with no bones in her legs. She walked in. So that was the thing that she didn't believe that she could ever see that. So she never asked for that. But and she tells me about this other guy, Brad, who was this guy who was in the car accident. And he was hanging around in some of the meetings, and he had met David. But he had really got started. Well, he really got started at his college in the States, because he had a head-on collision with a tree at very rapid speed. And he said just when the tree was coming through the car, I was standing outside the car looking at it. Never touched me. And she said, that kind of struck me as unusual. And I knew that the Lord had done this. But I ignored it. For the next 2 years, I just partied away at college. And then I joined this small prayer group. And I got more serious about the Lord because I knew what had happened and I was feeling a little guilty, I guess. And it says, I was in this prayer group and I began feeling that the Lord was telling me I was going to go to Africa. And he said, no, I'm not going to Africa. Africa's not on my list. Sorry, some other place. Like, all kinds of things that happen in Africa are not good things. And but he did go to Florida. And he went to Florida where Roland and Heidi Baker, who are FCA missionaries. We are FCA, so just so you know. So you know who you are, right? It's like one of the ladies who used to carpool when we took our kids to Calvin Christian, or was it Springs? I forget. They all look the same, eh? And but the mother would come to the door as son was leaving to get in our car, and if your windows were down in the summer, she'd call out to her son, now remember who you are. And I don't know if that ever worked. Well, you like my haircut, or are you just trying to blackmail me? I'm drinking again. So yeah, Roland and Heidi Baker. When we did the 2012 FCA conference here, we had Roland and Heidi Baker in. Do you remember it? No, you don't. Anyway, Val remembers. Val remembers everything, and she knows everything. So Roland and Heidi Baker. Roland was born to missionary parents in China, and he was interested in mission work. And he and Heidi were saying one day, "Lord, what do you want us to do?" And said, the Lord said, remember the poor. So they got out the encyclopedia, Eureka, or whatever it was, and looked up the poorest country in the world. It was Mozambique at that time. So he said, okay, we'll go to Mozambique. And so they went to Mozambique. Mozambique is in, wait for it, Africa. Now, so they're at this conference, and Brad goes down to this conference from his little college, afterwards, they're sort of milling around, and he's arguing with the Lord, saying, well, Lord, maybe you're saying, somebody else is probably saying this, but, I'm not going to Africa. Just thought you should know. And they're kind of wandering around. And then this guy who was speaking, Roland Baker, comes over and says, can I talk to you? He says, well, sure. Now, Roland's in his 50s. If you're not over 50, you're not legitimate as a Christian, in case you want to know. Well, okay, over 30. Anyway, he says, like, who are you? He says, well, I go to college up, on the other state, and I do this and I do that. And he says, yeah, that's interesting. I've sort of been in different mission work, etc. My parents were over in Asia, that's where they did a lot of their work. And he says, oh, okay. She says, I've been sort of thinking about a lot of things that Brad said, but I keep getting this impression God wants me to go to Africa, and I'm not going because that's obviously the devil, and I rebuke the devil. He said, yeah, okay, that's good. But I came over here because it's interesting. I came over here because the Lord told me you should be invited to come and live in my house. I want to invite you to live in my house. He says, no, you're a big speaker. You're like, you got to, you're up there in the front. You're like Cherry Salon or somebody. You're big time. So he says, well, that'd be very nice. Let me let you know. He says, okay. So a little while later, I don't know if it was the next day or whatever, he says, yeah, I think I should come and live with you. I'm not sure why, but I get that impression. I share. He says, that's great. Where's your house? He said, well, it's in Mozambique. So he goes to Mozambique. He kind of gets cornered into it, and he's out in the hustings, and they're going out with this Jesus film. And they go into this village with the Jesus film, and they're kind of hostile, and they don't speak the language. And the equipment doesn't work. So the men of that village begin to riot. And they're, you know, starting to burn stuff and going up and down the streets shouting. And everybody's in their huts because the techie can't make the stuff work, right? He didn't. And he's praying, right? He's 23 years old, and he's just praying. He says, "Oh, Lord, you know, what should we do? What can I do?" And he says, and the Lord said, "Go out and talk to them. Tell them to settle down." And he says, "Well, I sure hope I got this right." He says, "Because it could be a little bit, you know, there's some anger in the streets out there." He says, "They're not unnecessarily streets, but there's some anger out there, and I don't want to cross these guys." So, okay, I go out. So he goes out, and he kind of gets in the middle of all these guys, you know, shouting and screaming and waving their machetes. It was sort of I think it was semaphore practice when they waved their machetes. I don't know. But, and he says, when he got in the middle of them, they all picked up stones and started stoning him, which he felt was a negative response. And he's saying, "Lord, now what? And he says, "Well, tell him to stop." Now, his interpreter is in the hut hiding. He doesn't speak their language, but he just says in English, "Hey, stop it." It's dark. They were going to show a Jesus film, and they don't have theaters. They don't have home theaters, and the sound system isn't that good, in case you wanted to know. So, it's dark. But he hears suddenly the stone stop hitting him, and he hears the rocks all drop on the ground. He says, "Well, that's good." He says, and then he hears shouting, and they start coming at him with their machetes. He says, "Okay, we're not going to stone you. We'll hack you." And hacking means different things in different languages. Here you get your phone hacked. There you get your arm hacked, okay? So that's just how it goes now. Or your head. Your forehead. So, they all come in and they're going to hack him a little bit with their machetes. And he says then all of a sudden, when they got about 6 feet away, it around me, they would hit something and they'd fall down. And they'd hit something and fall down. And they keep hitting it. They get up and you couldn't see it. It was dark, but maybe you couldn't see it anyway. Think about that. And they'd fall down. So he said, after a while, okay, you guys, he says, "You tried to kill me, and God stopped you. Did you notice that?" Some of them were sober enough to have noticed that, and they said, "Yeah." He says, "Okay, bring your wives and kids back tomorrow, and we'll get the film working." So they did get the film working the next day. And they came back tomorrow. And as they're all coming in and they're getting around there, he says, "Okay, so I wonder what we should do here." And he felt impressed, "You should pray for someone who's sick." So he said, "Does anybody here need healing?" So they dragged this guy up and said, "Well, he's kind of sick. He's blind in one eye," which was a lie. He could see fine in one eye. And he didn't have the other eye. It didn't exist. Says, "Oh, okay, bad translation, lost in translation." So, says, "Okay," and they prayed for him. And he takes out his cell phone. See, because they didn't hack his cell phone. They were only trying to hack him. Did you get that part earlier? Now, and they film it. And his little red dot appears in the cavity. And it grows. And it becomes white. And a pupil appears. And a lens appears. And a whole eye forms. And he's taking it on probably his Huawei phone. Probably not his iPhone. Just, I don't know. Anyway. and he's got this whole eye. Well, then the meeting goes much better. I don't know if you ever noticed those things. It goes much better. So I said, "That's nothing." Because she's only repeating this story from this guy who came to her church, you see. I said, "In our other church..." Now, we have two other churches. We have the Open Hands Church. They come here on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And they'll be here today, right after our service, because they're having a fast, and they wanted to come and pray. And I said, "Don't worry. We're very prompt, punctual people. We'll be out of the way." So, we're having an extended service today at the same time, but... So that was one church. But the other church that meets here is the Tuesday night church. Now, some of you people go to both, but there's a different crowd on Tuesdays than there is on Sundays. So anyway, I'm talking to a couple from the other church, the Tuesday church. And I was saying something along those lines to one of them, because the husband had been showing me a video of her, of their son. She was praying Psalm 91 over her family, and the husband was showing me a video of the son, which was apparently on a street. I thought it was a parking lot. Nephew? Nephew, of course. And so, yeah, that's right. The son is here. I'll get to that one later. That's a good one. I'll throw it in. And they were driving around, and there's this video set up, and you can see what I thought was a parking lot, but they said it was a street. And the son, the nephew, was about 20 years old, and he was a typical Paraguayan driver, which meant he would like to go as fast as the pedal would go. Like, you put it on the floor and you see what it will do. You don't really know how fast you're going. It's just on the floor. And his best friend was there, and they were doing what they called time trials or something. And they were screeching up and down the street. And I'm looking at this video that they sent of the camera that they had set up to film themselves. And there's one light standard. I guess it's on a street, but I thought it was a center for pardon, huh? Although, you know, I'm not so sure other people have this story right anyway. So, now, he comes barreling around. He says, his best friend is driving. What's the number one cause of accidents? Unfamiliarity with the vehicle. It's not speed, it's unfamiliarity. Well, this guy loses control and drives into the light standard. Puts it right between the headlights. Kaboom. Video shows it hitting right between the headlights. Marvelous. Pretty well. He didn't have control at that point, I guess. He wasn't even trying to T-bone sideways. And the thing goes up in flames. The flames are about three times as high as the car. Just like that. It's an electrical pole. Maybe there was gas fumes, I don't know. The thing goes up in flames. And I said, that didn't look that good. She said, well, no. Just watch it burn. So we watch it burn, and after about 50 seconds, he says, it takes about a minute. He says, you see someone coming around the back. The flames are in the front. He says, that's the nephew. He couldn't get out right away. And he got singed on his arm. He's trying to get his friend out, who is not part of my family, and I wasn't praying for her, and he is cinders. But my nephew walked out, came around, called him to try and get out. He says, so I'm still praying Psalm 91 over my family. But that wasn't the interesting part. I mean, that was interesting, but she said, my son, so now we're getting to the real son. The lady says, my son asked me to fix his work suit, which was a snowmobile suit, because he works outside. He said, the zipper's no good. And can you fix it? Can you sew it back on or whatever you have to do? So she said, okay, I'll take a look at it. Her son is an irresponsible 19-year-old, and of course you have to be 50 to have any credit, 30 to have any credibility. And she takes it, and she says, well, I could figure out pretty quickly as I was working on it why it wasn't working very good. There was like up to 4 teeth missing on one side and 2 on the other, and 3 over here and 5 up there. And there's teeth missing in this zipper. She says, but what the heck? I sewed it back in properly and put it all together, and then I kind of put it up. And when I put it up like that, all the teeth were there. I said, well, that tops the guy who, you know, secondhand story in Calgary. This is firsthand right here. So I said, that's good. Anyway, that's all for today. This is going to be scripture, very boring. Okay, so we want to talk about healing today. Healing is something the Lord does repeatedly. And healing is, if you listen to the story about Brad and the story about David before we got to Ed and Adina, then you would have heard how this healing was taking place in these villages. And healing, what did we say? Besides being part of your salvation, healing is the calling card of the gospel. Somebody said, go into all the world, preach the good news or the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, drive out demons, raise the dead. Freely you receive, freely give. And they would go out, and healing was the biggest thing. You don't get a leper every day. You don't get someone to raise from the dead every day. You don't even necessarily get a demon every day, but you can pretty well find someone sick every day. So easy. And so healing became one of the biggest things. And when the disciples came back, they said, yeah, it works. That's how the calling card goes out. There was the calling card because when they were healed, they were to say to them, know this, that the kingdom has come close to you. It's only close when you get healed. Why? Because Jesus said in John 3, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And he said, talking to Nicodemus, and unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So it can get close. The calling card of the kingdom can come. But you need to be born again. You need to be a believer to see and enter. Otherwise, spiritually, you cannot see and you cannot enter. But it's close. And Jesus healed people and then would go back to them and say, do you know who healed you? And he says, no, who is he that I can worship him? Well, it's me, and you should worship me, but here's what I want you to do in the future. You know, believe on him whom God sent. And so he would often heal before people got saved. It was a calling card. But in your salvation is healing. And that salvation in your healing is based on faith. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart or the spirit, man believes. You're believing with your spirit, not your head, your intellect, or your emotions. Remember that? And with the mouth, you confess. With the heart, man believes and is justified. And with the mouth, he confesses unto. And then the word is salvation, which includes born again. Remember Thessalonians 5, I want you to be preserved. God would preserve you, spirit, soul, and body, complete and without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus. So, the spirit gets born again. The soul gets peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Now, the body gets healing or strength. And what we're seeing now in many of the areas of the church, where the church is a believing church, much bigger signs and wonders and much things that are hearkening back to what the disciples were doing after Jesus left, saying, the works I do, you shall do also, and greater. So, we want to look at faith because at salvation, spirit, soul, and body, or body in this point, is based on faith. By grace you were saved. That's God's side. He gave it to you. He bought it. He paid for it. Through faith. That's your side. That's Ephesians 2 a couple times. By grace are you saved through faith. So if your side is faith, you don't need to worry about the grace. You need to concentrate on faith. And talk about faith a little bit. What does Romans 10:17 say? I like that. I got a couple already. Faith comes. Now then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thanks for coming. I'll see you next week. So, some people say that healing's been done away with. But Paul said something interesting in chapter 13. Now, faith, hope, and love abide. The grace is love. But faith, hope, and love abide. So even if healing's been done away with, you can use your faith to confess unto the preservation of your body. Same way your soul and your spirit can be preserved. For confession is unto salvation. And Jesus kind of taught that and reinforced it. We're going to look at it a little bit. There are different levels of faith. How many levels of faith can you think of right now? No faith and mustard seed? That's two. Just put it in your own head here. Okay. Faith for healing in the covenant has different levels too. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:17 talks about futile faith. Maybe you should spend more time in Matthew 17:20, where it talks about little faith. Romans 14:1 says there is weak faith. 2 Corinthians 10:15 says there is growing faith. I got more than two already. Hebrews 10:23, unwavering faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, exceedingly growing faith. Colossians 1:23, firm and established faith. Acts 6:5, fullness of faith, or full of faith. Matthew 8:10, Luke 7:9, Matthew 15:26, and Mark 7:24, great faith. Jesus tells the unrighteous steward, after he goes out and does a few deals, well done. He was cutting discounts for his master's business. He's cutting discounts. And the master said, well done, you finally did something. At least you're doing something. Got me something. And Jesus said, the lesson here is if you're faithful in a little, you can be faithful in a lot. And if you're not faithful with something that's another's, you will not be entrusted with your own. Today, we'll basically take the concept that faith is to put credence to and reliance upon. There's other ways of looking at faith, but I think that works in our context here quite well. And faith will help you get where you want to go. Rule number one, God will work with whatever you believe. Rule number two, stop believing what you don't want. Or as Job put it this way, that which I feared has come upon me. The scripture is very plain. You can influence where you're going and where you'll end up by what you believe. When does faith begin to work? At the mustard seed level, Jesus said in Luke 17:6, where he says, the disciples said, increase our faith. And he said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be thou removed, planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Let's go there for a minute. Luke 17. If you need a Bible, they're on the back table. I'm using God's translation, which is the New American Standard. God may have more than one translation, but we wanted something that was relatively true to the original text. Let's start at 17:1. He said to his disciples, it is inevitable. Let's all say that together. Inevitable. Okay. It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. One of the biggest ways you can cause people to stumble is to put them into unbelief. If you look at Psalm 1, you'll see that the mockers are not well liked. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. And the apostles, the inside guys, the guys who knew what it was all about, the guys who would found the church and be sent into all the world, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Like we're going to have to believe a lot more to forgive somebody seven times in one day. Shows an interesting heart attitude. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, You would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And then he goes back to what he was saying before about the attitude of not causing people to stumble and to have a right attitude when you're in the kingdom. I'm the king. So he says, which of you having a slave, kings have slaves, plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he comes in from the field, come immediately and sit down and eat? Or will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which are commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, when I tell you not to cause people to stumble, when I tell you to be forgiving, when you do all things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves, we've done only that which we ought to have done. He said basically the same lesson as Matthew 8, when he was talking about the centurion. And the centurion said, would you heal my servant? There was one kingdom talking to another. And he says, I'll come and heal him. He says, you don't have to. In my kingdom, I have servants and I say, come, and they come, and go, and they go, and do, and they do. For I too am a man under authority. He said, Jesus, you're under some kind of authority. You say the word on healing the way I say the word on go get a pail of water, and it will happen. And Jesus said, he thinks he's talking about authority. I have never seen faith like that in the church. And the guy was healed like that. Well, immediately, they say. How long does it immediately take? In those days, they only had seconds, I think. No microseconds or nanoseconds. Anyway, the beginning of faith, it begins to work when you find yourself speaking. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Ask Val afterwards if you don't know. Or Mazzini, he knows. But he had it on his phone, I think. Anyway. If you had faith like a mustard seed. Now, I've heard a lot of sermons on how big a mustard seed is. It's not that big. Who cares? But if you had faith like a mustard seed, if you had a small amount of faith, if you had one kernel of beginning faith, in other words, when you first start to have faith, here's the telltale signs. You would say, if you're not talking to anything and believing it, you don't have any faith yet. You have hope. You have consideration, analysis, expectation, desire. But when you begin to exercise faith, you begin to talk. If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say. If you want to know if the mustard seed is working, the important thing in the Lord's kingdom is to have, if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in a lot. Start somewhere where your faith can work. Be thou removed, planted in the sea, and that's a conjunctive additive to the thought before. And it goes with it. These both things will happen. Not and it could, and it would obey you. That's an interesting concept from Jesus. He's saying the things you say and believe will impact the world around you, things around you. I've never come across, maybe I just missed it, where Jesus said, what you say and believe can take away someone else's will or decision. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a chick gathers hens, shelter you, comfort you, and you would not. You made the decision, not me. And that's why we went to Ephesians 4:17, where he says, stop walking like the Gentiles, because only you can make the decision not to walk in the darkness and futility of the thinking of the world. Only you can make that decision. Now, two interesting things then. If you have faith, you will begin to confess unto, if I can put it in Romans 10 language, you will confess unto salvation. But here he's saying, you will confess unto a thing happening. Or as in Mark 11:23 says, have faith in God. Whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, he will have what he's saying. Jesus is teaching a concept that few pick up on, even today. So what they do is they have the sinner's prayer in a certain category. I believe Jesus is my Savior, and I confess unto him as my Redeemer. I go to heaven. And that's the sinner's prayer, and that's the only one that works, and everything else fails. Even though it's exactly the same category as here. Believing in the heart and confessing too. Now, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you... Everybody say, he's talking about me. You would say... You know, you phone the garage. You know, you took it in to get the oil changed, and you phone the garage up. And they say, is the 57 Dodge there? And they say, no, the guy who bought it just drove away. He says, no, wait a minute. No, I mean the red 57 Dodge, like the belonging to me. And they say, who are you? Well, I'm so-and-so. Oh, yeah, you brought your car in this morning. Yeah, I told you. The guy we sold it to just drove away. Now you can say, interesting. And you can think, I don't like that. But if you believe it's really your car, you would say something. Like, I'm calling the cops, that's my car, you can't do that, or whatever. You would start to take a position from what you believe. I believed it was my car when I drove in. They believed it was my car when I got the oil changed. How come they're selling it to somebody else? Maybe they didn't believe it. But you assert your faith. You see? When you have faith as a mustard seed, small faith, beginning faith, you begin to speak. Maybe not publicly. Maybe you're not throwing pearls before swine. Maybe you're not proclaiming it on the street corner or down at Tim Hortons. You don't cast your pearls. You don't give what's holy to dogs, and you don't put pearls in front of swine, somebody said once, because they'll just trample the pearls, the things you're saying, or the seat of mockers, as Psalm 1, and they will turn and go after you, ridicule you for trying to believe. Interesting. But, he said, if you do have it, you would say something to something. He always talked about things. In fact, after the mountain one, Mark 11:23-24, the mountain will move if you talk to it. He said, therefore, all people. No. He said, all things for which you pray and ask, believe. Don't pray without believing. Don't pray hoping, wanting, desiring, desperate. Pray believing. How do I believe? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, you would say it would obey. That should give a lot of confidence to you. Some people, it intimidates them. But if it gives you confidence, you're on your way to faith. If it intimidates you, you haven't got it yet. Recognize it. Go there. Get some. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned, Jesus says in Matthew 12:35-36 is interesting before it, but it's 37 where he says that. And in Romans 10:9, we've already gone over it, you confess to be saved. We are saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8. And faith, the way it acts, is by you believe it and you begin to say it, to put it into effect in the world. For the word of God, which you are believing, faith came by hearing, and hearing the word of God, is alive and active, sharp, discerning between the soul and the spirit, it says. That's Hebrews 4:12. But it's between the soul and the spirit. Your head can't believe it, but your spirit is going to choose it. And you begin to exercise what you have chosen to believe. Jesus says that'll work. But what does he know? Guard your heart with all diligence. When the Bible says heart, it means your spirit man, the inner man, or what Paul calls, or Peter calls, the hidden man of the heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the springs of life. Put away a deceitful mouth. Look straight ahead. What's a deceitful mouth? Well, God, would you please heal me? Oh, hello? Oh, hi, John. Oh, I'm sick as a dog. I'm getting worse. Bye. Oh, God, would you please heal me? Put away from you. A deceitful mouth. Or as James 1:26 says, the tongue can deceive your own heart. What you're hearing, even if it's out of your mouth, can begin to deceive your own heart. Okay. So let's go back to Jesus in the Gospels. That's just a little faith primer. We can do more of that later. So here's Jesus. He's talking to someone who's sick. He says, will you heal me? And in Mark 10:52, Jesus responds to him and says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus said that. In Matthew 9:27-30, he's got other people asking him, and what he says to them is, do you believe I am able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do it? You go to the Lord for healing. Do you believe he is able to do it? Is it hope? Is it a wish? Or do you believe he's able? In Matthew 8:17, he says, be it done to you according to your faith. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I always like to run that one with Romans 4. Where it talks about Abraham, and it says Abraham, who was promised to be a nation, and he didn't have a kid yet, 10 years before, and the angels show up and say, next year at this time, you'll have a child. But here's the trick. Change what you're saying. Up until then, he was Abram, and he started calling himself Abraham. And Abraham means father of nations. He started calling himself what he would be. He confessed unto. But it says in there, in hope, in Romans, talks about him, in hope against hope, he believed. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you know what you're hoping for, but stop hoping for it. And start to believe. Christian hope is an assurance of things not yet. Did you know that? Christ within you, the hope of glory. It is the assurance of glory. It is the assurance of heaven. But it's not yet. You're not in heaven yet. Some of you came here thinking that, you know, you'd be close. But we're close, but you're not there yet. Sigmar. Has that kicked over to another program? Is it getting cooler in here? It feels cooler in here. I didn't even put my sunglasses on. Now, So, eh? Okay, still working. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The thing you hope for, start believing. Or as Jesus put it in Mark 11:24, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received. Don't believe it will certainly be in the future. Believe you've got it now. That's a spiritual position, not a sight position, not a soulless position, not an intellectual position. And the world wants you to run on sight, but we walk by faith and not by sight, because we want to get what we hope for. 10:17 Romans, so faith from hearing and hearing from the Word of God results in salvation. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit. The soul saying, I don't see it, and you ignore it, because you go to the spirit and you say, what I believe, for with the heart man believes, not with the head. Quit trying to do it with your head. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth he speaks. Romans 8:16, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirits. Matthew 12:32-37, don't speak against the spirit, because that's what's filling your heart, your spirit. It is your treasure. So don't be salt and fresh water. Don't be yes and no. Don't be double-minded. The double-minded man can't receive anything, James says. So the double-minded has to stop being you. So when at some point you're going to find something like that cold or that wart, try that before you take on cancer, leukemia, or something like that. But get something that you're willing to believe will obey you. Build your faith and speak to it. If your faith's strong enough, it will obey you. If your faith isn't there yet, you go back and build it. Change the category of faith you're in. This applies to your healing. Mark 6:56, as many as touched his garments were being cured. Now that's the Mark 6:56, but back in Mark 4, was it, or Mark 5? There was only one woman who believed she'd be cured if she touched him. She had heard about Jesus, and she came, and she was sick for 12 years, and grown no better, but only grown worse. She spent all her money on the doctors. But she said, if I can touch his garment, I will be healed. And when she touched it, Jesus said, who took the power? And they said, everybody's touching you, but only one person took the power. But when they heard about it, by Mark 6:56, they were begging to come and touch his garments wherever he was, in the marketplace, in the synagogue. And it says, as many as touched it were being cured. Their faith had all changed. What they believed about touching his garments and the power that could come had changed. When they hadn't believed it, even though the power was there and someone did take it, they weren't taking it. Why? Because their faith was not letting it come. Enough of this. Sigmar's bored. He's turning off the projector or something. He's packing up. So if he's packing up, I'm packing up. That's all there is to it. Now, that's really exciting. So we had hoped to have some sick people here today. We like that. Get a few more testimonies. I really don't need it. No, I'm fine. I need that. I don't want to lose that. So if you've got something you'd like prayer for, we have some time to agree. But if not, just worship. Worship is a good thing to do. It'll position you to begin to believe. Jesus said something interesting. It'll be done to you according to your faith, he said. He did not say according to your good deeds, your right attitude, your nice disposition, your connections downtown. He said it'll be done to you according to your faith. The Christian is supposed to learn to walk over in the spirit side so that things start happening according to their faith. Now, I know you've still got to walk in the world, even though you're not of the world, and you can be clever in the world. But the things you can do in the spirit side have more power than you have dreamed of, Horatio. Much more. Like putting the teeth back in your zippers. That's the local one. Are we ready? Or should I tell one more story? Want one more story? Oh, okay. Doesn't want any more stories.
Hello?